mic's on. Hello. It's a pleasure to be back with all you all today, and it's great to be back because I've been very busy. You've been keeping up with me. I've been traveling the world a lot, and it's been very hectic this summer, so it's good to be back with the church family. And today, it's a great opportunity just to preach to you all about the word that God's put on my heart. And it's really just, you know, incredible as church family, we can gather here on Sundays and really just be, you know, encouraging each other, building each other up in the faith, and just continuing to see what God's doing in our lives. So, a bit of an introduction about me. If you didn't know, my name is George. I'm 19 years old, and as Tim said, I've just finished my first year of Bible College at Regent's Theological College. I'm going to my second year in 2 weeks' time, which is very exciting. So I'm preparing for the second year for actual difficult exams and different essays and stuff, so it's going to be quite hectic as well. I'm David Haley's son, if you didn't know. I look like my dad. Everyone's been comparing me to him, so I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. You choose. And yeah, it's just a blessing to be here today. So let's get into the preach. So first of all, a bit of context behind what I am preaching today, and I'm preaching on Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And so the context behind Ecclesiastes. So first of all, it was written by King Solomon. Now, King Solomon was a wise man that he asked for wisdom from God, and God gave it to him. He was also very rich. He was the son of King David, the same David who'd killed Goliath. And in chapter 5, he zooms in on wealth and how that affects our relationship with God, that if we don't surrender our finances and everything to the Lord, we will bring destruction in our lives and we won't be able to follow God properly. And the whole point of Ecclesiastes is discovering the meaning to life. What is the meaning of our lives? Who is the meaning of our lives? What should we have in the center of our lives? And we should be asking that every single day. So if you've got a Bible, please do turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We're going to be reading from verses 10 to 12. I am using a different translation. I don't know if we use different translations at church, but I'm using the CSB today, which is the Christian Standard Bible. I love this version. I've been reading it recently. My devotional is really impactful, really has changed my relationship with God. So if you'd like to grab your Bibles now, I don't know if you're there already, but I'm going to start reading. And yeah, let's get straight into it. So in verses 10 to 12, it says, "The one who loves silver is never satisfied with silver. And whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with income. This too is futile. When good things increase, the one who consumes them multiply. What then is the profit to the owner except to gaze at them with his own eyes? The sleep of the worker is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich permits him no sleep." So as we're talking about wealth today, we need to define what wealth actually is to actually understand what Solomon's talking about here. So the Oxford Dictionary says this: "Wealth is a large amount of money, property that a person or country owns, and it is the desire to gain wealth and power that it derives from." Wealth is a well-known concept today. To a certain extent, we all desire wealth in our lives. Wealth is a good thing in proportion. It helps us to feed our kids. It helps us to pay the bills, to bless other people. But when our desire for wealth outgrows our relationship and our love for God, that's when it becomes destructive. As his children, we need to follow the plans that the Lord has for us. And if we're choosing to desire wealth over desiring a growth in our relationship with God, to desire the presence of God and to know more of his character, then we're going to be rebelling from his plans and choosing wealth over God. And so my first point of three today, there are three main points. The first point is wealth doesn't give you true happiness. It is foolish to think that wealth does bring us happiness in our lives, because it says in the Bible that our joy is made complete in God. It is made complete in him and him only. I can guarantee at some point in our lives or another that wealth has taken us away from God, that we've chosen to prioritize that over our relationship with him. We've chosen to have this money in our lives that we choose to spend on ourselves and our own selfish ambition and use as a way of getting by in life rather than relying on God's Spirit to help us and lead us and guide us. We are not called to share our wealth to bring true happiness into people's lives. We are called to share our wealth to bring God's generous hearts into the lives who are those who have been broken by it, those who do not know God, those who are yearning for the truth that is not fulfilled in our money or our finances. So a great practical example of using our wealth to bring God's generous heart into those lives of the people who have been broken by it is giving to the food banks. I know an amazing example of this is going out and giving food to the food banks, the people who do not have hope that they will be fed today, those who live on nothing, those who do not have much wealth in their lives, if any at all. Many people are starving today, and we have hope that Christ will come into their lives, and as vessels for his kingdom, we're able to follow what he says and to actually go and do something to proclaim the good news and to go out and practice that daily. And so what an amazing opportunity it is to share Christ's generous heart with those around us. Because as children, we experience this every single day as we should be. And if we're experiencing this, why are we keeping it to ourselves? Why are we not sharing it with the people around us? God's generous heart is for everyone, and we need to reach as many people as possible, knowing that God gets all the glory for it. Another example may be sponsoring a compassion child. In the past, myself, I have sponsored a compassion child. And it's amazing just to see how that impacts a person across the world that you may not know personally, but you can have a relationship with through sending letters, through sponsoring them, seeing how they're growing in the Lord, seeing how the Lord is working through their lives because you have said yes, and you have said yes to the plans he has for you. I look to do so in the future as well because I know the impact it has on them. Knowing that even if it's £2 or £5 or £10 a month, that extra money you give to someone else across the world, that could change their lives and they could go and change other people's lives. Because if we have hope in Christ, we want to share that to other people so they too have hope in Christ. We must submit to God in reverence and awe so that he can use what people use for evil for his kingdom. So we can do good for his kingdom. So we can show that the kingdom is here on earth, and that we are walking around as Christ's ambassadors, looking to share the glory of God and for people to share that with us as believers and as a community. As that goes on to my second point, which is serve God, not your finances. Matthew 6:24 says this, "No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So in your lives, if you are serving money over God, then you are serving the wrong master. You're serving something the world has offered you that does not give you proper satisfaction, the fullness that the God gives you of that satisfaction. It is temporary and it won't go with you in the grave. So you should be storing up your treasures in heaven, not here on earth. Because if you're storing here on earth, for a while, it might seem good. It might seem that you're prospering with the money you're spending. But the fact is, if we're using it on ourselves, we're trying to store it up here on earth where it's going to be left, and we're not going to bring it to heaven. And the biblical truth is, money is not sinful. So don't get that twisted. Money isn't sinful, but the love of money is evil. We need it to survive on a day-to-day basis. Man has created a unique system where we go around and spend money to pay for things, to have a job and to pay the bills. We need it on a day-to-day basis to survive because that's what we've become dependent on. But as we're using our money, do we realize of who slash what is in the center of our system slash day? Is God in the center of your day, or are you centering it around your money and your spending habits? Are you going around and spending your money on things that you don't necessarily need, where you could spend time with God and you could actually spend time thinking about how to spend your money and how to glorify God instead? If you're chosen to love your wealth more so than God, you must repent immediately, because that is idolatry. It's as simple as that. If you have something else in the center of your life that isn't God, you must repent, because that is idolatry. Idolatry is the act of choosing the world over God and replacing him with a worldly possession that you intend to worship as a God itself. There's only one true God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and that is Jesus Christ himself. And if you do not believe that with all your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then that's going to be a problem, because Things in this world are going to take you away from following the Lord. There's going to be things trying to constantly drag you down with it. The enemy is going to be using that to try and steal, kill, and destroy the plans that God has for you because you're choosing to pursue money over God's heart. Look at the Israelites. As they were waiting for the promised land, they got bored and built an altar to worship. They built an altar to worship because they couldn't be bothered to wait any longer for the Lord and they felt it was too long. But God's timing is perfect for the things in this life. And if you really see that the Lord is working in your life and rely on him, you'll see it's perfect too. And it was foolish of them because God hadn't left them. That was their thinking at the time. God is not with us. Where are his promises? Where is the promised land? In fact, God hadn't left them. They left God for the world. They replaced God within their hearts for the things that they saw with their eyes. They fixated their eyes on the worldly things rather than the heavenly things. And that's why they looked to temporary satisfaction rather than eternity and its satisfaction. Deuteronomy 4 says, "For what great nation is there that has a God near to it as the Lord our God is to whenever we call to him?" There only is one God we can call out to. The only God who is within our lives for a purpose to bring other people into the kingdom, to love us, to show us his compassion and his kindness and his generous heart to those who are broken, to us sinners who have been reconciled through the blood of Jesus. There is no room in our lives for sin, especially when it comes to money. How are you spending your money? You've got to be really careful with how you spend it. Spend time dwelling on the thought, am I glorifying God through how I'm spending my money? Does God actually want me to spend the money in this way, or am I doing it out of his will? Am I doing it because of my free will, because of my selfish ambition? And so ask yourself honestly, can you justify your spending? If you made a spreadsheet of all the money coming into your life and all the outgoings, all the things you're spending it on, can you justify the reasons for every single thing on that list that is going to be for God, or is it for your own selfish ambition? Because if there's even one thing on that list that isn't for God and you haven't given God glory for it, then you need to change that and go on this journey with God to change that for the better. And so you need to talk to God about it. Bring your sin and your wrongdoing to the foot of the cross where Jesus can pour out your forgiveness and his love upon you. Another thing as well, a practical tip, you need to reach out to the people around you. If you don't talk about finances, if you don't talk about your struggles with how you spend wealth or how you hold on to it and you feel like you need to spend it, or if you're struggling with an addiction where you have this abundance of material possessions and you don't know how to glorify God with that, speak to someone about it and pray with each other. Build each other up in the faith. If you have the inkling a little bit where you think the enemy's trying to use it for his evil, then you need to reach out to someone. Reach out to God who's going to help you in that situation. Don't hold on to it because God wants to bless you and he wants to use you and he wants the community around you to be a group of believers that are glorifying Christ in everything they do, are showing the light of Christ in everything they do, especially your finances. And so the second part of the reading before we go on to the third and last point. Ecclesiastes 5 verses 18 to 20 says this. "Here is what I have seen to be good. It is appropriate to eat, drink, and experience good in all the labor one does under the sun during the few days of his life God has given him, because that is his reward. Furthermore, everyone to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also allowed him to enjoy them. Take his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is a gift of God, for he does not often consider the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with the joy of his heart." Let me just read that last bit again. "This is a gift of God, for he does not often consider the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with the joy of his heart." So the last point is always be thankful. Always be thankful, whether you have little or lots, because your inheritance in Christ Jesus is building up every single day as long as you're clinging onto him and relying on him to grow you as a spiritual human being. And a personal experience of mine. So recently, back in June, which is actually quite a while ago, I went on a 3-week trip to America. And I was part of a movement called How to Life Movement, where as young people, we're spreading the gospel for other young people. We go across the world, we do events, and we just see people come to Christ. And we host these events where young people have these giftings that we're trying to show that Christ is working through young people and Christ is working through every single person who chooses to say yes to the plans that God has for them. And before I went on this trip, I made two massive mistakes. And this is not the first time I've made them. I've made them quite a few times and I'm still working through that. But the first one was I underestimated how much the trip would cost. Because if you go to America, it's not going to be cheap by the sound of things. And it wasn't cheap. In fact, I spent more money on food than I did for the actual flight. That's how expensive it was. So that was one mistake I made. And the second one was I had a lack of intentionality. In the build-up, I had money and I wanted to use it. And I didn't really think about how I'd use it. I thought, why not do this and see how it goes? Rather than, thank you, God, for the money you've given me. May I use it for your kingdom. Help me to surrender my finances to you and to go out and proclaim the gospel, showing that money isn't everything and money is only temporary. Help me to use it for your kingdom. And I pray that all of our response to the finances we're given, to the things that God blessed us with, is to be used for his kingdom and its thankfulness. So I believe our first response should be thankfulness. And if you're not thanking the Lord, then you need to start thanking him. As simple as that. There is something amazing when you start thanking the Lord in your life, because he does these amazing things within your hearts where you're more appreciative of the things around you, of your friends, of your family, of your finances, of the things that you may have been doing, your righteous deeds because of Christ within you. And all the glory goes to God, first and foremost. All the glory goes to God. God does everything within us to use it for his goodness of his kingdom. I briefly said this earlier, but open up to the people around you again. People who love the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. You want to have conversations with people who are going to give you wisdom, who are going to give you these tips that are going to help you grow as an individual in the presence of Christ. We're all going to struggle differently. We're all in different financial situations. But it's nothing to worry about, because we know our inheritance is secure in Christ Jesus. That has been promised to us through what we believe that Christ has done on the cross for us. And so even if we have little or loads in terms of material possessions, there's nothing to worry about, because Christ is with us and we can trust him along the whole journey that we are on in this life. Sometimes we need to call our brothers and sisters out. I need calling out lots, especially when I'm in university. If I'm not sticking to my habits and I'm saying, oh, I'm going to save my money rather than go out, and I go out, I need someone to call me out. And as brothers and sisters, we need to do that more often. If you see someone who says, oh, I'm struggling to pay the bills, and then they've gone and bought a fancy car, call them out upon it. Simple as that. You need to call them out upon it, because sometimes they may be blinded by what the enemy has done in their lives. They might be blinded by the decisions that they've made. But ultimately, if you don't call them out, what are you doing in that person's life? Are you actually letting them live in that sin away from God, or are you going to help them restore their relationship with God and bring them to the foot of the cross? And so John tells us in 1 John, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We should be desiring the things in heaven, because they are eternal. And God is the one that we should be desiring to grow more into every single day, to know more of every single day. Money is not going to be life-changing for you. It may give you some great opportunities. It may give you some great things that you can have in your life. But again, temporary. It's temporary. We are temporary residents that live in this world. We are foreigners to it because we are people of God. We are not of the world. We live in the world for God's purpose. We are heavenly beings. We are with God every single day, and God is with us. It's much easier to live on an abundance of wealth in this world than it is to be poor in spirit and follow Jesus every day. No one wants to be poor. No one wants to be poor. By human nature, we want to have everything in order so we know we're going to live a good life. But Jesus tells us to be poor, to live out of our poverty, because he said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for the kingdom is theirs. You must be poor in spirit. You must lay down your life before Jesus as he's laid down his life for you and give everything up so you can follow him and take up your cross daily. Jesus says we should be taking our cross daily and following him, and we should not put our hand back to the plow. For the things of the past are things of the past that he has delivered us from. And we should no longer dwell in that. We should be dwelling in the riches of Christ, in his presence where everything is fulfilled. All our desires, all our needs, all our difficulties are being helped through because he is offering us his help, his wisdom, his grace, his love, his unconditional affection. Do you remember the story of the woman who gave her only two copper coins? Compared to the man who came afterwards and only gave a small portion of his wealth to God. The difference in those two people. First time I read the story, I was like, the man gave more. You read it from a surface level, the man gave more. But when you read it again and you hear Jesus' word, you clearly hear and clearly see with your own eyes that the woman gave everything she had. And that was more than the man could ever offer. Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. For they all gave out their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. So if Jesus tells us to give out of our poverty, whether you have little or much material wealth, whatever that may be, you ought to do the same as the woman did. Because she laid down her life for Christ. She saw what Christ had done in her life. She saw the future and where she would be in eternity rather than where she is currently now. And she knew her purpose compared to the rich man who was consumed by darkness, consumed by his riches, consumed by his wealth. So never should we find ourselves worshipping money as if it was a god. Because you can't speak to money. God, money can't speak back to you. You can't do these things with money that you can do in your relationship with God. There is nothing similar with money that there is God, because God fulfills everything and much more than money can offer you. At the end of the day, you cannot bring that to the grave. You're not going to take that to heaven. So we should be storing everything in heaven, all of our treasures, and our eyes should be fixated on God for everything we do. For all the glory should go to him, whether we eat or drink it, all the glory should be for him. And so first and foremost, thank God for his provision. Go back to the basics. If you feel overwhelmed in life, go back to the basics. Thank him for the breath in your lungs. You're awake today because God has a purpose for you. God wants to use you for his kingdom. He has so many different things for all of us here. Different professions, different families, different people who are working together as the body of Christ. And we cannot work as individuals. We need each other. We need God. Thank him for the daily opportunity to glorify him. And in doing so, surrender your finances to him, whatever that may look like in your life. Invite him in. Invite the Holy Spirit in to say, God, clean my heart, purify and refine it so I can be living for you. That I can be surrendering everything before you at the foot of the cross, knowing that it's worth nothing at the end of the day compared to the grace and love that you've shown me on that cross. And really believe that in your heart. And if you don't believe it, start reading the Word of God more. I'll get on to a second, but we should be continuing to walk in the ways of the Spirit because the Spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. So ultimately, choosing the Spirit is more difficult than walking in the flesh. And the enemy wants you to choose to be comforted. He wants you to be comfortable in what you're doing. He wants you to sit in the things that he's given you and he's offered out for you so you do not have a relationship with God. Because even the devil believes in God. He knows that there is one God. He used to serve God before he fell. And so we do not want to be in the same position as him. We want to serve God as much as possible in this life, knowing that if we sin, we must be reconciled to him and ask for forgiveness and ask him to help us in our lives with whatever we may be struggling with. And so before I end, I've got three practical tips for you all. The first one is root yourself in the Word of God daily. If you're not reading your Bible every day, and that's a problem. The enemy is going to use that to his advantage. He's going to see your weaknesses. And because you're not perfecting your weaknesses in Christ, because you're not growing your spiritual habits and continuing to glorify God in everything you do, the enemy is going to drag you into sin. The enemy is going to drag you with him. He says, come along. We've got work to do. And you're not going to do anything about that because you haven't read the Word. You don't know the Word. You don't know what Christ has said in the Bible, what he has said to his people. And we need to follow that day in and day out. We need to go up in the mornings. We need to wake up and we need to pray to him. We need to read our Word and we need to do that within a day, showing that our deeds mean nothing. They are filthy rags without Christ. If we're trying to glorify God without this righteousness that he has given us, that we pursue in him, then our deeds are nothing and we are not truly surrendering our lives to him. And the second one, make the decision to glorify Jesus with your wealth in the little things. It could be overwhelming to try and give everything to God. And so you just need to start being faithful in the little things before God can entrust you with the bigger things. So if you've got some extra money in your life and you surrender that to the Lord, he's going to use that for things that you never thought could be possible. Like I said earlier, you can sponsor a compassion child or give food to the food banks. And you can see that people are coming to Christ because of your generosity, because God has given to you. It says in Hebrews 7:7, greater is the one that blesses another than the one who is blessed. So God is greater than us, therefore, and we need to show his greatness and that he is God Almighty, and that we need to make that decision in everything we do to show him that, to show other people that his love is amazing and it is unconditional and it's for everyone. And yeah, it's not, don't keep it to yourself. Do not be selfish. The gospel is for everyone. The gospel is there on a plate. And if you're not offering that plate when God tells you to, then that might be a missed opportunity for someone to come into the kingdom of heaven, to come into this family. And we want to see this church, we want to see this church full every single Sunday. We want to see, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect to come into a church. But knowing that you're surrendering everything to the Lord and you're giving everything up for him, that is more than enough. And God is proud of you for that. And third of all, ask God to identify areas in your life where money isn't well spent and ask him to help you change that. So be specific with your prayers. If you aren't direct with God and you're trying to beat around the bush, as we say, then God's not going to answer your request because you're not being specific and open and honest and vulnerable at the things that you want to change in your life. God has a heart that he wants to bring into your life and show you that he has a big heart for you. That his heart is bigger than everything else that this world can offer. And so what we need to do is ask God to identify areas, maybe within our heart first of all, that is full of darkness and needs to be full of light. We know God is full of light. There's no darkness in him at all, 1 John 1:5. We know that God is a God who constantly wants to shine his light on his people to show them the way forward, to show that he establishes our steps. And so ask God to identify areas in your life where you're not surrendering your finances and all of this wealth, all this abundance of possessions to him, and he will help you grow in that. Before I end, I just want to end on prayer so we can apply this into our life for the week ahead and for the month ahead. Father, Lord, we thank you for being in this place. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God with a generous heart. You're a God that constantly wants to provide for us. You are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. May you just be continuing to do a work within us that never stops until the day we rest in paradise. Lord, may we surrender our finances to you and give everything up for you, Lord Jesus. May our wealth not consume us, but may our wealth be used for your kingdom to bring people into the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Lord, for the daily opportunity we have, for the breath in our lungs, to know that there is a purpose we're here on earth, and that is to fulfill what the kingdom of God wants us to do, for the plans you have in our life, you knew before you knitted us in our mother's womb. So may we just walk in your presence, for the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, Lord Jesus. May we perfect our weaknesses in you and apply these things that your spirit has worked through today in the next week and months ahead. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.